Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the channel. My name is Jacob Restituto, and I'm a musician from Northport, New York. And today we have the absolute pleasure of having Blue Eyes here on the channel. She is doing incredibly well with some incredible music, actually, and I'm really looking forward to chatting because, not going to lie, I am quite the fan of her music. So aww. She is on TikTok and all the other platforms, but on TikTok with over almost 250,000 followers at the moment. So, Blue Eyes, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to chat.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to chatting. I've been actually following your music for, I don't know, I found it on TikTok. It came in my album a while ago, and I've been like, yo, this girl can stink and write, man. Your songwriting is phenomenal.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That's definitely my flag, my torch that I carry throughout my career.
Absolutely.
Writing, yeah.
So for people that haven't discovered you or your music yet, can you give a little bit of backstory on who you are and your music? You know, I mean, start as early as you'd like to in your music journey and just life journey.
Yeah, sure. I've been writing songs since I was a kid and found TikTok a couple years ago and, or I guess almost 2 years ago now. And just started posting every day on there because I figured this is the thing to do, apparently. I had gone to music school and, like, you know, done the LA hustle, lived in LA for a little while, and just wasn't really, like, finding my way the way that I wanted to. And I wasn't really, I just hadn't really found my way yet. And so then when TikTok came along, it was just like, you know what? And it was also pandemic, I swear, was, like, the best thing for my career because it just forced me to, like, look inward and be like, okay, what do I actually care about writing about? What do I actually want to say? What do I want to do regardless of whether or not it succeeds? You know, what is important to me in terms of my art, in terms of what I am writing? And so just having that time to, like, just sit down and create every day was so, so valuable for me. And so I used TikTok as kind of, I called it like my digital journal. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to sit down and create every day. And I'm just going to post what I made because it's just like, you know, here, I made this today. Here you go, world. This is what I did. And it just kind of, it also kept me accountable because it made me where sometimes I would otherwise set something down and be like, oh, I'll come back to this later. It made me be like, no, let me just finish it for the day. Just get a little demo together so I can post it and then be done with it and move on to the next thing. And so I just did that for a while, for a month or two. And then I wrote this one little idea one day in December of 2020. I had been wrestling with the idea that I was noticing that the only days that I felt settled in myself and not anxious were the days where I was always working. And just kept my mind busy. If there was a day where I was sitting still, it was uncomfortable. And so I had this line that I'd written down in my my notes. It was just the only days that I'm not stressed are the days I work myself to death and I'm too tired to feel anything else. And I just thought that was, like, cool. That's, like, seems honest and whatever. And so I wrote a little verse. I couldn't figure out what the chorus was going to do. And I was just like, I'll just post this. And then I was downstairs eating pizza with my parents. And I was, like, checking TikTok. I was like, there's, like, a lot of comments on this. and then long story short, like, the video went viral. And that was, like, my first, like, viral video. And I gained so many followers from that video and wound up putting the song out a few weeks later. And that song's called Stuck in My Head. And it's, like, still one of my most listened to songs. Just from there, kept creating and just, like, finding other ways to tell my story and producing it all myself and staying independent.
Woo. Yeah. So I wanted to ask about that actually. Cool. I love that. First of all, congratulations. That's phenomenal. Secondly, thanks. I want to give a little context in the sense of, like, your best performing song I just recently saw had, I think, 8 million streams on it. Yeah. So that's pretty sick.
Yeah, it is pretty sick.
Secondly, staying independent. I love that. I think independent is the way to go, man, all the way.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that's pretty amazing. Do you plan on staying independent, or is that the plan for now, or what's the thoughts?
It's a plan for now. I mean, you know, obviously, if things kind of expand to the point where I need some extra help and wanting to elevate it more, then, you know, if the right label comes along with the right deal, like, sure. But I've, you know, in terms of, like, where I'm at right now, I'm not desperate for a deal. I'm chilling. I like being able to control when my stuff comes out. I like being able to control what comes out. And you know, I just like the flexibility, and it's just, it makes it more me too. And I just not having to answer to anybody really. I mean, the last couple songs I've been putting out with, kind of like a distribution partner. So they're kind of helping me elevate the streaming of it, of this new material, just so it feels like there's less pressure on me, but they're not telling me what I can and can't put out. They're saying,
so how does that work? Okay, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. So the deal that I'm, or the team that I'm working with right now, they're called Version 3 and they're awesome. But basically they're just there to like help elevate what I'm doing in the streaming world. That's like their expertise. And they do have, they help me with some social media strategy and stuff too. And they have connections at TikTok and all that. But their main, like their, what they're really good at is like optimizing streaming and like, you know, getting it out where, you know, it needs to be out. And yeah, so I basically just tell them like, this is the next song I want to put out. And they're like, cool, here we go. You know,
so what
it's
do they do
like
with that? That's pretty interesting. Actually, you sparked my interest. I'm super curious now.
Oh yeah. So yeah, they just have a lot of relationships at the different DSPs at Apple Music and Spotify and Tidal and Amazon and all the different DSPs. And they basically, they just talk about the music that's coming out. They call up those people, or they send out emails saying like, hey, this is coming next week. Would love to consider your consideration for, you know, whatever playlist that fits the vibe. So for me, it's like sad bops and like, you know, chill pop and stuff like that. But for other people, it could be like, you know, death metal, whatever. Like they have some clients that are like death metal.
Yeah,
so I think, or I don't know. I might be misspeaking here, but yeah, so they just kind of help get the word out on the industry side about upcoming releases for their.
Yeah, that's
so
pretty interesting.
Yeah. So, and then they take, you know, they take a percentage for, you know, what they do, which they very much earn because they bump the streams like a lot in their hustle to get it out there. So yeah, I mean, that has been a really great kind of like middle ground for me where it feels like I'm not completely alone, just like on my own, uploading it to DistroKid and being like, let's hope that something works. And then, you know, if TikTok is just not on my side, which it hasn't been the last few weeks, it doesn't feel like, oh no, like no one's going to hear the song because, you know, there's other irons in the fire, so to speak. So that's why I hired them. And also I personally, I went through like a health crisis this year. And so I have been a lot more conscientious about, you know, not taking on too much and wanting to, you know, make sure that I'm like not overworking myself and all that. So I think that was like another big part of the reason I wanted some help. Just because I'm the queen of powering through. Like I will power through all day and then I will regret it. So yeah, but that's kind of, so I guess like, yeah, the plan right now is just, yeah, keep releasing music and stay independent and, you know, be in control. And then if the right partner comes along at the right time where it like makes sense, then yeah, I'm open to it, but I'm not like
striving for it.
I need a record deal right now. Like 100%. Nobody needs a record deal. No offense to the people that work in that. Like I know that they all work really hard to do their jobs, and it's just, you know, it's just, you have to be, I think that there's like a time and place for that. And it's not always at the beginning, because at the beginning you're still figuring yourself out. So like, why would it serve you better to like have someone else figure you out for you when like the whole point of you being an artist is to like express yourself? Like I have friends that are with labels and they have told me like the creative control is insane.
Oh yeah.
Don't do it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So that's my plan.
Absolutely. I love that. I totally relate to that. I would love, you said something in that struck an interesting chord, and I'm super curious to hear about it. As a musician myself, and as somebody that makes a lot of content myself, I would love to hear your perspective. You said lately TikTok hasn't been on my side. Obviously, you're talking about the algorithm and all, whatever the case is, like however it works, right? And I relate to that. And I think that that's a super unique, I don't know what you'd call it, trait or thing that people that are, or musicians that are, you know, growing up in this social media TikTok era have to deal with to some degree, figure out,
a
right?
Very specific type of anxiety.
Yeah, and
like a computer doesn't care about me. What?
Well, exactly, right? It's so interesting. Or the fact that you think that you have some of the best content you've ever put out, and then it flops, or then you put out something that's like, "Hey, I just filmed this in 13 seconds," and then it's phenomenal, right? Yeah, who knows the answer to that? I don't think we ever will. Otherwise, we'd all be billionaires, right? But
even TikTok doesn't understand TikTok. Mm. I have seen it. Even like the people that work there, I've had meetings with them where they're like, "Oh, Lord Algo is gonna do what Lord Algo is gonna do."
Like, sounds like the guy from Shrek. That's funny.
Yeah. Lord Farquaad.
Yeah, exactly.
But Lord Algo's just like in his throne with like this.
For real? Oh my gosh. That's what he's like, guaranteed. It's the same color as everything as TikTok.
Yeah. Oh my god, this needs to be a meme.
For real. For real. That's too funny. Yeah. I would love to hear your perspective though. Like, so I think we all relate to that, but now how do you personally handle that? Because I think that that's the harder part. It's like, okay, everybody feels that way, but now what do you do once you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, it's a constant journey for me. The way that I've been handling it this time is just because, okay, so with my last song release, the song did decently well on TikTok. It didn't go viral or anything, but...
Which song was this?
It's a song called Rest in Peace that I put out in May.
And I'm surprised because that song's a banger, man. That song is so... It's not really a banger. It's very slow, but it's very good.
Yeah, no. Sorry. I'm saying that did do well on TikTok.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't understand that.
Yeah. No, sorry. Okay, so that one did decently well. It like every time I posted a video, it got more than average views for me. And I was like, whoa, this is cool. This must mean the song is really good. So I was kind of riding that wave and it was like, amazing. Like, whoa, this is so weird. Like, awesome. I haven't put out a song in like almost a year and people care. This is great. And then with this last song that I just put out last week, called Wish We Never Happened, I've been posting it and it just hasn't done anything. And I was like, okay, maybe it's the song. Maybe it's, you know, my content, whatever. And so I tried posting content for Rest in Peace again in the middle of that, just to try to shake things up. Also underperformed. So I was like, okay, clearly there's just like, I was on a good wave with that other song a couple months ago. I'm on a down wave right now. Inevitably, this is going to happen again at some point. So the way that I've been kind of telling myself that like, this is okay, all of this work that I'm spending on videos is not wasted, is that like, whenever that happens again, I'll just repost the content.
That's cool. Like,
just repost it when you're doing better. And then it'll have a second chance. And I've seen people doing this on TikTok, like literally reposting the same video, like in the same day with like different whatever and having different varying results. So I think that that's the way that I've been dealing with it this time is like, you know what? I'm spending all this effort on this now. And like, it is fun and cool. Obviously it'd be more fun and more cool if like it went viral or it got like more than like 2,000 views. But, you know, I can always repost it later. And I think that's the beautiful thing about TikTok is that, like, your songs are never, like, done, you know? Like, any song could pick up at any time.
100%.
Literally, now until forever, like, you know, Running Up That Hill, perfect
example. I was just about to bring that up. Absolutely. Who knows if, like, you know, one of your tracks in 20 years, 30 years old could be that track.
Exactly. You know, it's featured in some show. Yeah, so, like, not even, I mean, it could be, like, a song that I put out last year could pop off next year. Like we just don't know. So I think that that's the coolest thing about TikTok is that people are always discovering new things, even if they're not actually new.
It's new to them.
So, there's also an amazing example of this too. This was also due to a show thing, but do you know Orla Gartland?
Mm-mm.
She's this awesome European singer-songwriter. She's so good. And she had a song in that show, Oh my God, I'm forgetting the name of it. Oh dear. It's a big Netflix show. She had a song in it called Why Am I Like This? And oh my God, something with hearts. Ah, it'll come to me. But she had this song in the show, and the song is 3 years old
mm-hmm.
for her. It's like came out in 2018 or 2019 or whatever. And it did like yeah. crazy. It's got like 30 million streams now, and she's like an indie artist. Like, that's insane. And that can happen like at any time, you know?
100%.
And I think that was due to the show, but also due to TikTok for sure.
Yeah. It's also really interesting because I want to add on to what you said. I totally relate to and agree with everything you said. And to add on to it, it's my perspective to some degree is like, that's never going to stop in the sense of like the wave is never going to stop.
Yeah.
When we, you know, when the song, say the song has 100 million streams, it's to some degree being like, well, my last song had 170 million streams, you know, like it's just different levels though. Right. But it'll never
Literally,
stop. Like,
yeah.
Some of Taylor Swift's albums do better than others, and if you're if you don't learn to deal with that now, it's going to be a lot harder
exactly.
when there's millions of dollars on the line, kind of thing. You
exactly.
Know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you just gotta like. I'm reading this book right now that I would recommend every single creative read. Hang on, I'm gonna go get it. That's
yeah, please.
That's how good it is for creative people. Okay, this book.
Oh yeah. I read
Have
that.
You read it?
Phenomenal. Absolutely.
It is so good. Okay. It just talks about how bullshit it is that we take our creativity so seriously. Just
mm-hmm.
like, you know, it's all about just make stuff. Make stuff
yeah.
and put it out there. Like, it doesn't matter. As long as you're expressing yourself and showing it to the world.
Yeah.
Once you put it out there, you are done with it. It
yeah.
is not yours anymore. You have done your job. Go move on to the next thing. Don't get hung up on how people interpret your work. The way that people interpret your work is none of your business.
Heard a really interesting quote from Ed Sheeran recently about that. First of all, can you put that book back on the screen for a sec? Yeah, exactly. So
yes.
We can see it. It's called Big Magic. Phenomenal book.
Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert.
So
read
good.
It. So fun. So light.
So
good.
It is very, it's a light read for sure.
Yeah.
I heard a really interesting quote from Ed Sheeran. He was talking about like how the fact of he has these ideas of what he thinks his songs are about, or even before
right.
he releases songs or right after he releases them, he doesn't like talking about what they are. I apologize for my dog upstairs.
That's okay.
Because he has his perspective, but then you have his situation, millions of people that now
yeah.
have their perspectives. It turns
yeah.
it into something completely different too. So it's very interesting
mm-hmm.
interpretation of music like that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the more people that relate to different situations, like that's amazing. You know,
yeah.
people can take what you have. And there are times too, where I relate differently to the same song that I wrote.
Oh,
like,
100%.
You know, like I write it about a certain situation and then come back to it. Like I wrote this song. Okay. I haven't put it out yet, but I wrote this song called, I Don't Know What I'm Doing. It's really good. And the verse,
I'm pumped to hear it.
It's really good. I haven't I just have to work on it, but the verse is like my friends are all reaching out saying they're proud of everything I've done and like but basically like I don't know what I'm doing, you know. And at the time I had written it about like I was doing well, like TikTok was happening for me, like I was getting, you know, a bunch of people reaching out to me, like, you know, my career was starting to happen and people were reaching out, you know. But then I went through this health crisis this last year where I, you know, basically was unable to do anything for like 6 months. And so then I re-listened to this same song like a couple months ago and hearing it in that context, like my friends are all reaching out saying they're proud of everything I've done. That was happening to me. Of people saying, I'm so proud of you, like you're better and like you're doing well, and but I don't know what I'm doing. Like, it just, I don't know, it's a completely different situation, but it hit me in the same, on the same level of like, whoa, like I totally deeply relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was my own words. I don't know, it's just crazy how,
yeah man,
I've
written songs before where it's like I later in like years later, 5 years later, be like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I felt that way, but I wrote that lyric and now
yeah,
I actually
yeah.
feel that way, kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's very
that
interesting.
That too, when you predict your own future,
exactly.
That's
exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's why, okay, creativity is freaking magical. It is straight magic. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I love that. You had mentioned you have to work on it more. You mentioned the fact that you're self-produced.
Yeah.
Your production is phenomenal.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I love producing. It's so fun.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. So do I. It's part of some part of the I actually to some degree, and I don't know if you'll relate to this, but I kind of like producing a little bit more than songwriting. Songwriting is hard work.
Yeah. Songwriting is definitely the art that I take more seriously than the production. Mm. So I have more fun with the production than I do with the writing because it is
well
hard
said.
Work coming up with words. Figuring out how to say things, how to make the words hit just right, you know, how to make the melody sit right with the words that you've chosen. Like, you know, there's all kinds of things that are really, it requires a big, like a lot of energy in your brain.
Yeah.
Production is more like a video game to me. It's like, let me try this. Oh, like, let me try and beat the boss this way. Oh, okay, that didn't work. Let me like run around and refuel and then like try this. It kind of releases similar chemicals in my brain to like when I would play video games as a kid. I don't play video games anymore, but production is my video game.
I hear you for sure. I relate to that.
Yeah.
So how does the relationship with Davin work then?
Cause
I actually just spoke with Davin.
Week ago. That's awesome.
Yeah. Cool.
Guy. Yeah, Davin is the best. I got connected to him through his old publisher. She doesn't work there anymore, but she just cold emailed me and she was like, hey, my writer Davin, like, I think he would work well with you. He did these songs, whatever. And I listened to those songs and I was like, dope. I like him. Cool. And then I did one session with him and we wrote this song called If I Were a Friend, which immediately I was like, this is such a good song. What the heck? And the process working with Davin, just to speak to your question, is like the most fun ever. Hang on, I need to plug in my computer because it's gonna die. Working with Davin is like literally the most fun, I think, creative relationship that I have ever had. Mm. It is like so free and open and we send stems back and forth and we try different things. We're always open to each other's ideas. We really trust each other creatively. I freaking love Davin. I think he's brilliant. And I think he is so tuned in to what actually makes writing songs fun.
Yeah.
That he's not concerned about like, oh, like, this isn't going to, people aren't going to relate to this, blah, blah, blah. He's like, okay, like, what is just better? Like, what makes it better? And and he takes himself seriously, but not too seriously. Like, I don't know. I guess also to answer your question, before we were able to meet in person, like when we wrote If I Were a Friend, we wrote on Zoom. He had a guitar part that he recorded, sent it to me. I heard some drums in my head, so I built out the drums, I tracked the vocals, sent him a bounce. And then he was like, oh, I hear some stuff in the verse and, you know, whatever. And then so he added some like synths and harmonies and other drums, sent those stems back. So basically the way we work is like I house the session. So like I'm like the master session keeper. And then we just like send things back and forth, send stems.
Oh, that's so cool, man.
Yeah.
That's a really cool way to produce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right,
super...
I guess, technically.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I feel like we also intertwine production writing pretty heavily. Like when we work, it's like, okay, what chords are, you know, 100%. Happening here? Like, what parts should we have?
The but ups and downs, the quiet parts, the loud parts.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so now that we're able to meet in person, the way that we've been working is I go over to his house. We write an amazing song. We produce it as far as we can together in his studio. So we usually track vocals, guitar, piano, drums. Oh, we don't track drums, but like, you know, program drums usually while we're writing, kind of like doing all that stuff. And then I'll take it home. And then I've been like the finisher.
That's so sick. Well, you definitely have the magic touch because it's sneaking phenomenal.
Thanks.
You're legit.
Yeah, no, Davin's, I could talk for an entire hour about how much I love Ricketts.
Yeah, he's a cool guy for sure.
So cool and just so emotionally intelligent. Like, that's the thing about him that I just find so cool.
Yeah. I love that. Very cool. To kind of sidestep now or continue along and talking about your songwriting, I want to say how incredibly... The word I want to use is transparent versus and raw, I guess, is your songwriting. And I think that it's incredibly... I've said the word relatable 1,000 times, but it's very relatable. in the sense that, man, one lyric stuck out to me so much. It said, be in the moment for just a moment because it always feels like I'm somewhere else instead. And I was like, shoot, that was like, oh my gosh. And it was, it's very interesting because I've been trying to release a song a week for 2022.
It hasn't happened.
Look at you go. It hasn't happened. It's been like, I probably released like 14.
That's still incredible. Are you kidding?
Thank you. Thank you.
Everybody, thank you. Give them a round of applause because that is a feat in itself. I don't care who you are. That is a feat. Amazing.
Part of the reason I want to do it is to get out of my own head, and it hasn't worked as well because I have gotten in my own way to some degree. Like, the point of it was to be like, no matter where the song is, it's going out kind of thing, to kind of break the mentality of like, oh, it has to be perfect, because I've released tracks that I've worked on that have 100 stems in them, and then they do okay, and then I've released ones that have 14 tracks on it, and they're like, people are like, oh, it's the best song you've ever heard. I'm like, man, it took me 14 seconds to make this song. Like, what? You know, I wrote my heart and soul into the other one, and then you
that's interesting.
It's so like, I'm just, so then that didn't really totally happen, but this year, but the whole point of that story is, of the last three tracks that I've written, two of them have talked heavily on anxiety, and I related to those lyrics so much because I just felt like there was such parallels between what you were writing about and what I was writing about. And I was like, man, like, I felt like I feel like I wrote that song, man. Everything she's saying is like right in my, I was like, geez, man, I relate to that. So I wanted to give you the proper kudos for that because it was really, really well written. I think that that's partly why so many people, in addition to the talent and the songwriting, I think that's partly why people relate to it so much, is the fact that, like, oh my, anybody could have, you know, say that they wrote the song because it's so real to them, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing that, and that song too, like, I was like scared to like let my parents hear it or let my boyfriend hear it. Or, you know, because I didn't want them to worry about me, but I, you know, I felt like this is like real to me. So I think that's another thing that TikTok has afforded me, is just like this kind of intermittent place between releasing a song and like writing it, you know, because there's the moment when you write it and you're like, whoa, I feel this. And then when it comes to like actually like releasing it, that's like, you know, everybody that you know is going to hear it, and maybe some people that you don't know. Hopefully it blows up, whatever. But there's like this in-between stage where you're like, I'm not sure if I want everyone to hear it, you know? And but TikTok affords you that space to be like, let me just like put this out here and like see if it's even like, if this vulnerability is worth taking farther.
That's funny.
And so oh, like, man. Yeah, and like it kind of like allows you to see like, do people actually relate to this, or is this just me? And
is it worth me bearing my soul like this?
For exactly, exactly. Like,
that's so
interesting. I don't know.
I hear you.
It kind of, I don't know. For me, it gives me like a little bit more courage when I post something on TikTok, even if I see like 5 comments that are like, "Oh my God, Spotify now!" Like, even if it's only 5 people, like, I know that those 5 people are going to listen to it and going to hype me up when it comes out. So that gives me that little extra boost of confidence to be like, okay, cool. Yeah. Let's do it. Cause it's a lot of effort to make content for a song and make the cover art the way you want it. And, you know, make sure everything's all set to go, make a video if you're going to do that. Like, it's a lot of energy. So I don't know. I think I love TikTok in that way because it allows you to kind of do like a trial run of like, how does this feel to like put it out for the world to hear?
Yeah, for sure.
And if it feels good, then go full ham. Why not?
So you'd mentioned friends and family, and I'm super curious to hear the friends and family perspective of now versus when you first started and first decided to be a musician.
I mean, my parents and my family have always been just full send supportive, like insanely supportive. So I'm very, very lucky in that. But I will say it has, I think it's just been a shift in my own relationship, you know, with myself and with my own work. Because I feel confident now that I am able to, like, I'm doing this and I'm making money doing it and people care about what I'm doing and their lives are improved because of what I'm making. Like, I am doing something important. I'm an adult now, you know? Whereas before, I think I was maybe kind of looking to my parents and friends for like advice more and like, what should I do? What should I, like, is this song good? Is this song bad? Whereas now I feel like I trust my gut more than anyone in the world. Like, even if everyone tells me this version of the song is better, if my gut says it's not right, I listen to that and I try it a different way. Mm-hmm. Because that, I think that, yeah, now having seen what my gut has afforded me to do, I've just seen how valuable it is in kind of directing my creative decisions. So I think it's just been a shift in like my own confidence, more than like my family's support, because they've always been supportive, you know, even when I was writing terrible songs and I had a terrible voice and I would play at the coffee shop for literally 10 people that were all people that they brought. Like they've always been there.
Oh,
so
man.
I've been very lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you. You had mentioned, so is this your full-time job at this point?
Yeah. I'm very lucky.
Absolutely. It is an incredible blessing to say that. So many people, you know, I don't know if you relate to this, but at least myself, I find that sometimes I can get frustrated that, you know, I'm not where I want to go as fast as I want to be there, right?
Of course. I guarantee you, like, even Taylor Swift feels that way.
Well, exactly. And so that's why I try to, as hard as I can, nip that in the butt now, because it'll never go away.
Right.
You know, when you're, you know, like I said, you start at 1,000 monthly listeners and then you go to 10,000 and you're at 100,000. You're like, oh, well, you forget that not too long ago you had 1,000, but you're looking for that million. And when you have 10 million, you're looking for that 20. You know, it's like there's always something else that you could do, right? So learning to be content with what you have.
Yeah.
Where was I going with that? Full-time job. So like the gratitude of where we are, like in the sense that this, we can say that this is our full-time job, that there are so many artists out there that have to work a 9-to-5 to work on music on the sidelines, or, you know, it is an incredible blessing. And it probably to some degree affects the quality of work, you know, that there's a lot more flexibility and freedom in how we spend our time, right?
Yeah, there's more time to be afforded to, like, let me take a day off and go live a little bit
That was exactly my next. So I wanted to know what the typical day-to-day as a creative looks like for you.
Yeah, I sleep in till probably like 9 or 10 these days. I didn't used to be like that, but I need a lot of sleep, and I've just accepted it. I wake up, I usually go for a morning walk. When I'm in LA, I go walk and get coffee. I just sit at the coffee shop and kind of like be around the people without interacting with them, if that makes sense. Usually at the coffee shop, I'll do some emails or something on my phone, just kind of like, or like I'll edit a TikTok or something, or just, I don't know, just kind of take in the energy around me. And then, depending on what is on the docket, like if it's, it depends, like I'm not doing all of these things in one day. But I will either, so then I'll come back and I'll either, work on the production of something, or I'll make some content, or those are probably the two main things, or I'll have like a writing session. So I'll do one of those three things for, you know, from like noon till 7 p.m. or so, and then sometimes I'll do a live stream in the evening. So if I'm like releasing a song soon, I'll do a little like 30-minute live stream. I'll have dinner with my boyfriend, and then we'll usually like watch something. Or if I'm really in the zone, then I'll work until like 10 p.m. and then I go to bed. So
you get like 10, 11 hours of sleep a night, huh?
Yeah, I sleep a ridiculous amount.
Hey, you know what? To each their own. My wife is like that. My wife can sleep forever.
Yeah.
Love sleep.
I mean, like, again, like, I had some health issues this year, and it was one of the things that I needed a lot of. And I had some insomnia issues for a little bit, and so I wasn't able to get as much sleep as I wanted. So I just continued to let myself sleep in, because I know that if I wake up and then I'm tired, then my whole day I'm cranky and I'm not as productive. So I'm like, why would I force myself to work when it's not going to be as high quality work? If I could just sleep one more hour, then I'll wake up and I'll do 5 hours of quality work instead of 8 hours of like, I'm a zombie, you know?
Yeah. So. How do you manage the pressure of there's always more things that you could do? As somebody that's self-employed, how do you manage the pressure of there's always more that you could do?
That's an issue for me. I mean, at a certain point, you just got to be like, I've used my time the way that I wanted to or needed to today. If that day was spent, like the other day, okay, last week was crazy because I had put out a song. So I had been every day just like, and I'm visiting my parents right now in Lake Tahoe, and the weather's beautiful. So over the weekend, I sat on the beach and read this book. Like, that is all I did Saturday and Sunday all day. And that is what I deserved and needed to do. So, like, you know, I could have spent those days like making more content or whatever, but like I needed a little reset in my brain. So I think that, you know, acknowledging that those times are just as important as the work is a really important thing, because if you're not feeling sound in your mind, you're not going to be doing, like, you're going to be doing a hamster wheel situation. You're going to be like moving a lot. Momentum doesn't necessarily equal progress, though. Mm-hmm. That was like one of my favorite quotes from one of my college professors, is like, if you're moving forward and you're going in circles, like, you might think that you're doing a lot, but you're not getting anywhere. Whereas if you just sit still for a second and take one step forward and then another step forward, then you're getting somewhere.
It's a big difference between being productive or being busy and being productive.
Exactly, exactly. And I think another thing that I do is I check in a lot with myself and ask, am I having fun right now? Am I enjoying this, what I'm doing? If I'm not, step away. Because if I am not enjoying myself, that energy is going to find its way into whatever I'm making, and it's just going to make the work itself bad. So if I'm working on a song and I'm forcing myself to muscle through it because I don't really want to work on it right now, work on it tomorrow. Because if you're not enjoying yourself while you're working on your song, the final product is going to sound like you weren't having fun making the song, like, guaranteed. So, and same with content. If I'm making content and, I mean, obviously there's many days where I'm like, ugh, I have to make content. But then once I start getting into it, I'm like, okay, this is fun. You know what I mean? But yeah, so I check in a lot with myself. Am I having fun? If I'm not having fun and I don't have a deadline, then pick it up tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really important.
I hear you. Very much so. What is something that you're currently, like, musically really enjoying that, like, you maybe new to you or something like that, you know? What are you enjoying as a listener of music?
Oh, like a song or an artist or something?
Sure, exactly.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I have been a Holly Humberstone stan since her first song came out. Every single time I listen to any of her music, I'm like just fully obsessed. I just go into obsession mode. I'm like, I must make something exactly like this. It is so good. I also really love the new Muna album. The Harry Styles album was great, fun. I wasn't like I don't know. I wasn't like, I need to listen to this 10 more times, but it was really cool. Always a big Lizzie McAlpine fan. I don't really have like a specific song that I'm like replaying over and over and over again right now. But yeah, Holly Humberstone is just always my go-to. She's so good.
Yeah, absolutely. What does the future of performance look like for you? Any live performance coming up?
I would love that. I do not have a booking agent yet. And I don't really want to take on the burden of being in charge of my live shows because I've done that before and I know how much energy it takes. And I would rather reserve that energy for writing and producing and making content because that is where I'm gonna actually be able to move the needle myself. Whereas like booking shows for like small venues, like that used to be the way to get yourself out there, but
Oh,
now
sure. A
it's
hundred
not. It's like
percent.
once you're out there, then you
Yeah,
go.
absolutely.
But yeah, I am hoping to do a local show in LA in October. We're gonna, I don't know if it's finalized yet, but we're gonna maybe make something happen. I'm also planning on releasing an EP before the end of the year,
Oh, cool.
so hopefully going to be doing some sort of thing to celebrate that. But I one of my goals for 2022 was to book a tour, so I would love to make that happen before the end of the year. But I, you know, I'm just putting it out there into the universe, but I'm not like forcing anything. Because I've done the I played in bands and stuff, and we traveled, and oh my God, it was like I wore myself down for like something that wasn't worth it, you know? And so I am not going to make that mistake again with this project because I don't want to start off having a bad relationship with touring. I want to, you know, be ready to work hard, obviously, and schlep and do all the things, but I want to come home and feel like, yeah, that was worth it. That
For
was
sure.
a lot of work, and I'm going to sleep for a month now, but like, that was worth it. As opposed to feeling like I didn't make any money and I didn't make any new fans, so like, what was the point? Kind of a
Yeah,
feeling.
all that exhausting work for what, to some degree?
Just for some like cool Instagram posts, maybe?
No.
Like with the tour poster, like
Oh,
it's not worth it. So yeah, I mean, I would love to go on tour, even do a few shows around, and because I know I have fans out there that are dying to see me live. So, but yeah, I'm not gonna force it or rush it into for something that's like, you know, not the best situation.
Sure,
So,
absolutely.
yeah.
For sure. So I really appreciate your time and chat and everything. And one question I love to ask people when we wrap it up is, currently in where you are in your stage of your career, what is one thing that you know now in your career that you wish you knew when you first started?
I wish I knew that other people's opinions don't matter. Or let me rephrase that. What I said earlier about my gut being the most important voice in the room, that I wish that I had known that earlier. I wish that I had listened more to what moves you, what makes you excited, what gets you amped up and just feeling like dizzy with like, ah, this is so crazy and so cool. What is that? Do more of that. As opposed to like, oh, this is what I need to do to become a successful songwriter or performer in the music industry. Because that is always changing and always evolving. And people are constantly inventing new ways to be successful at that. And that new person that's inventing a new way to be successful at it could be you. So if you have a way of doing things that works for you, that gets you excited and gets you making stuff and putting it out, keep doing it because like that is just the fastest way to success in my opinion. It's just listen to your gut, listen to what you actually care about, what you actually want to say, what you actually want to write about, not what you think is going to get you to blow up, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, because then you're always going to be chasing that after the fact. Chasing the
Yeah.
views is an impossible game. It's an exhausting game.
Yeah. And like, even if you succeed at it, then you're like, okay, I don't feel that great, you know?
Exactly. You have all these views for something you're that super happy about,
Yeah.
or
So yeah,
streams.
I think I just, I wish that I had become more in tune with like my intuition and my things that I actually care about sooner, as opposed to kind of like chasing what other people told me was important and what other people cared about. Yeah, just refining your intuition, refining your taste. I think another thing that's I wish that I had known sooner is like your taste, your opinions are what make you valuable as an artist, period. Like, what you think is cool, that is what makes you an artist. Mm-hmm. So, like, have opinions. Like, say that you think something is cool. Say you think something, you don't understand why people think this is cool. Like, I don't know. I went through music school and people were like, yeah, this song is so rad. And I was like, yeah, totally. And like, I didn't get why.
Was it like classical music school or was it like modern music school?
Like modern music school. But you know, so like everyone was like in bands together and stuff. And yeah, it's just like, you know, have opinions.
Yeah.
Be like, I don't get why, like, I don't think that that's interesting.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Yeah. You know, everyone's entitled to have an opinion. And those opinions are what make you an artist and what make you valuable, what make people want to work with you is because you have those opinions.
Absolutely.
So, that's another thing.
Very wise words of wisdom.
Kind of a complex idea, but it's like, I don't know. I'm such a people pleaser. So all I wanted to do growing up was like, oh, okay, you want me to do that? Okay, I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you want me to do that? Okay, I'll do that. As opposed to being like, okay, what do I want to do? Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate your time and really appreciate all your insight. I know that there was a lot of really great wisdom, nuggets of wisdom in there. So I appreciate it. If you could hang out for 2 more seconds, I want to thank every single person that watched this video or listened to it, however you ended up hearing the content. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You guys are the true one.
Yeah, for real. So all of Blue Eyes is... Blue Eyes is?
How do you... Yeah.
All of the music and content from Blue Eyes will be in the description below. So go check that out 100%. Thank you so much for watching. The best way to support this channel is checking out my own original music. Consider subscribing. Have a wonderful rest of your day. God bless and peace out.